ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நமஹ. ஸோ இன் எஸ்டர்டேஸ் கிளாஸ் வி சா தி மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி தச சாந்தி மந்த்ராஸ், தி டென் சாந்தி மந்த்ராஸ் டேக்கன் ஃப்ரம் வேரியஸ் பார்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் வேதாஸ் which are chanted before the study of Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, customarily. And along with these Shanti Mantras, some prayers also were chanted, such as the Narayanam Padma Bhuma Vasishtam and all that. Now we will see the meaning of those mantras. Even though the Dasha Shanti Mantras are uniform in various books, there can be variation in these prayers, which we are going to recite today. And I follow what Swami Paramarthananda follows. And the first prayer that we started to see yesterday was Narayanam Padmabhuvam. Let me recite it first and then we will see the meaning. Om. Let me see whether I started to record. Sometimes I forget. Yesterday I forgot. I don't know where is the connection. I'm not able to have the what happened to that? Are you hearing me?
We can hear you well. And we can see you well. There's no problem with either the audio or the video. They're both fine.
But also it is showing here recording.
Yes, showing, the recording is working.
Well, it is showing recording there, but I don't know.
Recording in a cartridge.
Oh, that screen I lost. I don't know where. Well, because I'm not
able to. For us, we are able to see recording.
Yes, the recording is in progress.
It's in progress. Okay, let me start it afresh again so that if there is an issue, let me know. I'm going to start afresh. Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Sadguru Charanaravinda Bhyam Namaha. So yesterday we saw the meaning for the Dasha Shanti Mantras, the 10 Shanti Mantras taken from various parts of Vedas, which are chanted customarily before the study of Brahma Sutra Bhashyam. And along with these Shanti Mantras, some other prayers also were chanted, like the Narayanam Padma Bhuvam. And we are going to see the mantras for those prayers today. Let us first chant these mantras. Om Narayanam Padma Bhuvam Vasishtam Shaktin Chatat Putra Parasharancham Vyasam Shukham Gauda Padam Mahantam Govinda Yogindra Mathasya Sishyam ஸ்ரீ சங்கராச்சாரிய மதாஸ்ய பத்மபாதம் ச ஹஸ்தாமலகம் ச சிஷ்யம் தம் தோடகம் வார்த்திக காரம் அன்யான் அஸ்மத் குருன் சந்ததமானதோஸ்மி. அஹம் அஸ்மத் குருன் ஆனதா அஸ்மி. ஐ ஆஃபர் மை நமஸ்காரம்ஸ் டு ஆல் அவர் குருஸ் சந்ததம் ஆல்வேஸ். அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் திஸ் குரு பரம்பரா? தட் இஸ் ஸ்டேட்டட் ஹியர். It starts from Narayanam, Lord Vishnu himself. He is the first Acharya. And we saw in the Shanti Mantra itself, Yo Brahmanam Vidadati Purvam Yovai Vedamscha Prahinoti Tasmai. Yesterday we saw this mantra. So Vishnu created Brahmaji, who became not only Vishnu's putra, as it were, but also the first disciple of Lord Vishnu. So the Brahmaji taught to further acharyas. Therefore, the first acharya is Lord Vishnu himself, so Narayana. And Padmabhuvam refers to Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha. According to Puranas, from Vishnu's navel, the lotus came, and on the lotus, Brahmaji appeared. So Brahmaji is Padmabhuhu. Padmat bhavati sambhavati utpadyate iti padmabhuhu. And Padmabhuvam Brahmanam, who is the second acharya in the Guru Shishya Parampara order. And Brahmaji being special creation, he gained the knowledge not in a regular way. You know, in the Upanishads we already saw tad vijnanartham sa guru meva vigachet samitpanihi, all that we saw. He didn't go like that to his guru. By sheer meditation, he was able to grasp. So, swayam bhata veda. So, as he did dhyanam itself, by the grace of Lord Vishnu, the Vedic wisdom arose in Brahmaji. So, Vishnu served as not as a visible guru, but as the invisible ashariri guru. I mentioned many times ashariri when I don't see people in the video here. So this Ashariri Guru. And the third Acharya is Vasishtam. Narayanam Padmabhuvam Vasishtam. He is the disciple of Brahma. Each one happens to be the Putra also. So as well as disciple. That is like two in one. Putra and disciple. Then Vasishtasya Shishyaha and son is Shakti. And Shakti is Shishya and Putra is Parasharancha. Parashara. Parashara Rishihim. And his putra and Shishya is Vyasacharya. That is why Vyasacharya is also called Parashariyaha. In Bhagavad Gita, also in the Dhyana Shloka, Parashariya Vachastaroja Mamala. So that shloka says Parashariyaha, Parashariyaha. So Vyasacharya. So then Vyasa's son and Shishya is Shuka Maharishi. In the Vishnu Sahasranamam Purva Bhaga, Vyasam Vasishta Naptaram Shakte Pautramakalmasham Parasharatma Jambande Shukatatam Taponidhim. Vyasam Vasishta Naptara. Vyasa is the great grandson of Vasishta. Shaktehe Putpautram, the grandson of Shakti, and Parasaratmajam, one son of Parasharam, and Shukatatam, the father of Shuka Brahma. So in one shloka, we have got five generations. So tasya shishyaha, that is sukasya shishyaha gaudapadaha. So now no more putra parampara, there's only disciples. Shishya parampara only now from this time on, from Shuka Brahman. So Shuka shishya is gaudapada, the great author of the Mandukya Karika. We already saw it after the Mandukya Upanishad. We saw the Karika also written by Gaudapada Acharya. And next is Govinda Yogindra. Gaudapada Shishya is Govinda Yogindra or Govinda Bhagavad Padacharya, who is Adi Shankaracharya's guru also. Then Atam Asya Shishyam. His disciple is Sri Shankaracharyam Adi Shankara Bhagavad Padam. And four of Shankaracharya's famous and prominent disciples are also mentioned here, namely Padmapada, Hastamalakam, Totakam and Vartikakara. And all these acharyas are popular because of their works, like Gaudapada, Shankara, Padmapada, and all these people. And there are stories for each mantra also, which are each of these names also. Padmapada, actually, when he walked across the river, when Shankaracharya called him, how the lotuses, the Padmas, they appeared. Because of simple Guru Bhakti, he did not even wonder how to cross the river. He just walked and lotus came and served as a lotus bridge for Padmapada. So the name Padmani Pade Yasya. And Hastamalaka Acharya is the next Acharya, the one who had the vision of Brahman as clearly as an Amalaka fruit. amlaka is nellikai in Tamil, I think gooseberry or whatever it is we call it, on the palm. So if you have that fruit on the palm, how clearly it will be visible, that is how he had the knowledge of Brahma. So in Tamil, we call it ullangai nellikani, something like that. So, and the third disciple is called the Thotaka because he wrote the verses in a particular meter called the Thotaka meter. So his Thotaka Ashtakam is a famous work in which he glorifies Shankaracharya. Vidita kila shastra sudha jaladem mahitopanishat katitartha nidem hridaye kalaye vimalam charanam bhava shankara deshikame sharanam. So this shloka is a very, very popular shloka. And not only that, he wrote another text also in the same Thotaka meter, Shruti Sara Samudharan. That is another beautiful work, taking the essence of Vedanta. The Vedas, 170 shlokas he did. In fact, at the end of this text only, the famous Dhyana shloka of Vishnu Sahasranama, Bhupadav yasya nabir veda suranilas chandra suryo chanetre, that portion comes only from at the end of this particular work. And the Vartika Karaha, the next one, he is Sureshwara Acharya. He wrote commentaries called Vartikas in prose form and also a critical commentary also. And there is a beautiful definition for what a Vartikam should be. Definition of a Vartika is there. Ukta nukta duruktanam chinta yatra pravartate tam grantam vartikam prahuhum vartikajnyaha manishinaha. So what is said in the original, that has to be, he has to clarify them. And what is left unsaid, so whatever is uktam, originally whatever is said, he should clarify. Whatever is anuktam, whatever was not said in the original, he has to fill in also. And what has to be criticized, he has to criticize also. That is the duty of a Vartikakara. And he wrote Vartikam of the on the Taittiriya Bhashyam of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya wrote the Bhashyam for all the Upanishads. And for the Taittiriya Upanishad also, he wrote the Vartikam, known as Taittiriya Vartikam, a commentary on Shankara Bhashyam. And that is why it is called the Taittiriya Bhashya Vartikam. And he wrote another Vartikam, which made him even more famous. That is the Brahma Sutra, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Bhashya Vartikam, consisting of more than nearly, I think, 10 or 12,000 shlokas. Very large Vartikam. So the commentary upon the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Bhashyam of Shankara, that is his magnum work of the Vartika Acharya, the Sureshwara Acharya. And some other Vartikams are also there. He has written some more also in Vartikam also, about which he is very well known. So all the, that is why he is called Vartikakara. As Vyasacharya is called Sutrakara, he wrote Brahma Sutras. And Adi Shankaracharya is called Bhashyakara because he wrote Bhashyams for the Prasthanatrayam and all that. And Sureshwara Acharya is called Vartikakara because he wrote a lot of Vartikams. And all these four disciples, and then the parampara continues until now, because we are all able to learn. What is the proof that it continues? Because we are learning even today. That we are solidly present here is the proof for the avichinna parampara, Narayana parampara, starting from Narayana. And many more acharyas are also there. And which will take, you know, if you have to put all of them, it is going to take a lot of time. So that is why he said, Anyan, all the other acharyas up to my guru, Asmad Guru. So all of them are my guru, only my teachers. Some of them are directly my teachers. Some of them are indirectly my teachers. I worship all of them. And next shloka we read was, Shruti Spriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavad Badam Shankaram Loka Shankaram. This shloka also we read yesterday. I offer my worship to Shankara, Adi Shankaracharya, who wrote the commentaries for the Prasthanatraya. That is the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, and also Brahma Sutra. And he is Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam. He, the Alayam means the abode of all the Vedic wisdom, Shruti. And the abode of the wisdom contained in the Smriti, which systematically presents the Vedic wisdoms like Manu Smriti, Parashara Smriti, and all that. And Puranana, Puranana means the abode of all the Puranic wisdom also. The 18 Mahapuranas in his Vishnu Sahasranama Bhashyam, he profusely quotes from Vishnu Puranam. But peculiarly, there is one peculiarity in Adi Shankara's Bhashyams. He doesn't quote from the famous Bhagavata Purana. Actually, some scholars, even to the extent that they even doubt about the existence of this Puranam before Shankaracharya. Then we can also add the Itihas as the abode of Ramayana and Mahabharata also. He quotes from Ramayana, I think, only a few times, once or twice only. But from Mahabharata, very profusely, Acharya quotes. And quoting from Mahabharata is the most difficult thing because it contains over 100,000 shlokas. In fact, quoting, even seeing the book itself is going to be tough. You know, sometimes in various examinations, they will say, you can have your textbook and then you can answer the questions. You can have the textbook, but unless you know, you have studied the textbook where the answer is, you cannot find it. You can take forever to find an answer. So this is like that. Mahabharata, even if you have the book with you, to do this thing is very tough. Therefore, Alayam. Alayam means he's like temple of this wisdom. And not only that, he is Alayam Karunalayam, abode of compassion also. Otherwise, he would not share his knowledge because there may be problem of insecurity, all this intellectual security, patent infringement issues, all that thing. You know, when you leave a company, they will have an exit interview to find out that you are not taking away any intellectual property of the corporation. So because there may be problem of insecurity and all that. So all this intellectual insecurity. He shared everything he knew because Karunalayam, compassion. And he was by Bhagavad Pada, one who leads everybody to Bhagavan. So Bhagavantam Padayati, Prapayati, Nayati, iti Bhagavad Padaha. And he takes his Sishyas so close to Lord that every Sishya says that Lord is not away from me. Why? Lord is not even different from me. That is what he taught to all his Sishyas. So he is Bhagavad Padaha. And he is Lokashankaraha. So Mangala Pradaha. So the one, Sam means Mangala. Karaha means bestower. The one who bestows Mangala. Therefore, Mangalam Karoti So Pradadati Iti Shankaraha. Mangala means Brahmananda. Therefore, Brahmananda Rupa, Atmananda Rupa, Mangalam Karoti, Iti Shankaraha. And he gives Brahmananda to whom? If he had only verbally taught those days, then only a few people would have been benefited at that time. Only his contemporaries would have been benefited. But through his written works, he helps all generations of the future, all over the globe. Therefore, he is Jagadguru. Therefore, Lokashankaraha, one who brings auspiciousness to the entire world through his teachings. To that Acharya, my prostrations. And then the next shloka is, Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutrabhashya Krithav Vande Bhagavantav Punah Punaha. Here the student, he offers prostrations to Shankaracharya and Vyasacharya. So punah punaha bhagavantau aham vande. Both are bhagavans, the avatara of the Lord. So bhagavantau, bhagavat avatara bhutau. How? He says, Shankaracharyam Shankaram. First Shankara refers to Lord Shiva. That Lord Shiva alone has taken avatara as Adi Shankaracharya. So Shivam Shankaracharyam, or Shankara Avatara Bhutam Shankaracharyam. And who is Vedavyasa? It's not ordinary person. Keshavam Badarayanam. Keshava Avatara Bhutam Badarayanam. Badarayanaha is another name for Vedavyasa because he got this name. He did tapas in a Badari Vanam, a forest grove of Badari Vrikshas, Badari trees. So near Badrinath or someplace. So Badaravanam Eva Ayanam Yasyasaha Badarayanaha Vyasacharya. And what did they do? Vyasacharya or Vishnu wrote Brahma Sutras. And Shiva in the form of Shankara wrote the commentary. They both are very, very close. That is why there is a saying, Shivasya Hridayam Vishnuhu, Vishnoscha Hridayam Shivaha. They were so close. Only the bhaktas are fighting. Anyway, Sutra Bhashya Krithav. And Vishnu wrote the sutras and Shiva wrote the Bhashya. To those two, Aham Vande. I offer my prostrations. Punapunaha. Punapunaha repeatedly. It is like loop a loop. Go on doing namaskar. Actually, when we go to Tirupati and all these places, those days, I don't know about today. Once you go in, you come out. Then you have to go around the temple and again, they will let you in. These days they don't. So many times when we go, we try to do as many times as possible to go inside and have darshanam again and again. So here, the term Sutra Bhashya Krithav is interpreted also in two ways. We will just discuss about this briefly, actually, because a popular interpretation is the first one. Krithav. Krithav means Sutra Kartacham and Bhashya Kartacham. Sutra Kartaram Aham Vande. Bhashya Kartaram Aham Vande. So Sutra Kartaram, who is that? Vyasacharya. And Bhashyakarta is Shankaracharya. I do namaskaram to both. And actually there is a scholar by the name Kalyana Sundara Sastrigal. And he gave another interesting meaning. And he says, here Bhashyam is not to be taken as Sutra Bhashyam, but as Upanishad Bhashyam. That means the expansion of the Upanishads. Upanishad Bhashyam, what it does? It expands the Upanishads, the content of the Upanishad by commenting on it and explaining it. Then what did Vyasacharya do? Vyasacharya, he wrote the sutras which are presentation in a nutshell. That is condensation of what? The content of the Upanishads itself. Therefore, Upanishad Sangraha Karta Vyasaha. Upanishad Vistarakarta Sankaraha. So the interpretation is considered significant because Adi Shankara, he expanded whatever was given in the Upanishad, and Vyasacharya, he gave them in a nutshell through sutras. So one is condensing, another is expanding. Because this is significant because it removes one big misconception, a possible misconception. Not that it is there, it's a possible misconception. And what is that? In our introduction, we talked about six astika darshanas, if you remember. And we said in Sankhya Darshana, the Sankhya Sutras are presented by Kapila Muni. He is the founder of Sankhya. And similarly, Yoga Darshana was presented by Patanjali Muni. So Yoga Sutras. Similarly, Nyaya Darshana by and Nyaya Sutras are founded by, we said, Gautama Muni. And Vaisheshika Darshana is available in Vaisheshika Sutras by Kanada Muni. And Uttara Mimamsa Darshanam and or Vedanta Darshanam is available in Brahma Sutras given out by Vyasacharya. This is what we said yesterday. This is how the six darshanas are presented. Then what a person might think, when we say Sankhya Darshanam is founded by Kapila Muni, therefore it becomes an invention of Kapila Muni. It is the product of the intellect of Kapilacharya. Therefore it becomes Paurusheya Darshanam. I don't know where I'm leading to, perhaps you might have guessed. So it is Paurusheya Darshanam, means of human origin, a product of human intellect. Similarly, Yoga Darshanam is a product of Patanjali's intellect. So each one uses Tarkashastra. They are Tarka Pradana Darshanas. Using their intelligence, they invent those Darshanas. And in the same way, we give Vedanta Darshanam also presented in Brahma Sutras by Vyasacharya. And therefore, we may conclude that it is a product of Vyasacharya's intellect. Then it will become what? A Paurusheya Darshanam. And the problem is, any Paurusheya Darshanam, any product of human intellect will have defects because human intellect is intrinsically limited. Purusha Buddhi Doshaha. And therefore, we want to say, no doubt Vedanta Darshana is available in Brahma Sutra, and no doubt it is given out by Vyasacharya, but they are not invention of Vyasacharya, but it is the teaching extracted from the Upanishads, which are apaurusheya, the revelation of the Lord himself. Therefore, since the Upanishads are apaurusheyam, the Vedanta darshanam also is apaurusheyam. Uttaramimamsa darshanam is apaurusheyam. So among these six darshanas, Uttaramimamsa darshanam is apaurusheyam. Therefore, do not study Brahma Sutram as a human product, but as dealing with apaurusheya darshana. Then why do you all call Vyasa as the founder of Vedanta darshana? We say Vyasacharya is not the founder of the Vedanta darshanam, but Vyasacharya extracted the teaching from the Upanishads and presented them in the form of sutras. Therefore, the codification or the systematization, giving supporting logic, etc., is by Vyasacharya, but the teaching itself is not of Vyasacharya. And therefore, Sankhya philosophy did not exist before Kapila, since he is founder. Yoga Darshanam did not exist before Patanjali, because he is the founder. Whereas Vedanta Darshanam did exist even before Vyasacharya. Therefore, Vyasacharya only perpetuated Vedanta Darshanam and did not propound it. Therefore, Vyasacharya is only one of the Acharyas. Vedanta Darshanam started from where? Narayanam Padmabhubam, Vasishtam, started from there. Vyasacharya is only one of the Acharyas. And Vyasacharya is only from the sixth generation. So Narayanam Padmabhubam Vasishtam. So when you go in that route, it is Vyasacharya is the sixth generation only. And his glory is what? Along with other darshanas, he presented this darshana also in sutra form. But the actual teaching came from the Upanishad. And that idea is conveyed here. Vyasacharya only wrote the Upanishads as sutras, and Shankaracharya wrote only the Bhashyam for those sutras. Not any new of his philosophy is written. Therefore, Sutra Bhashya Kritav Bande. That means Upanishad Sutrasyam, Upanishad Bhashyasya cha Karta. And therefore, Sutram and Bhashyam both do not contain anything original, but both are only expansion of the Upanishadic teaching. That emphasis is on the Upanishad and not on the Sutra and Bhashya. Therefore, Upanishad Sutra, Upanishad Bhashya Kritav, Aham Bande Punap Punaha. This is a small diversion in the interpretation, just to only to remove maybe a misconception. Then the next shloka, Ishwaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine Vyomavat Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha. Here the prostrations are to Lord Dakshina Murti, is another form of Lord Shiva, when he is seen as Adi Guru, and that too Adi Vedanta Guru, as Dakshina Murti or Sadashiva. That is why there is another prayer verse that we recite in the beginning of the class, Sadashivam Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmat Acharya Paryantam Vande Guru Parampara. So in the Narayanam Padmabhuvam Shloka, Vishnu is said to be the Adi Guru. And in this shloka, Shiva as Dakshinamurti is said to be the Adi Guru. Anyway, both are only one. And he is called Dakshinamurti because he is the only Lord who faces the south. Dakshina Murtihi Yasyasaha Dakshinamurti. So Dakshina is indeclinable. So it's not a gift, not the Dakshina that you give to priests and all with the ka. It is not that Dakshina. It's a direction, south. And in our tradition, southern direction represents Marana. Therefore, when we buy houses and all, we don't buy a house which is facing south. Even the American realtors, they know when many people buy houses. So they ask the question, I know you don't want south facing house. So whereas for all other jivas, south means fear. Therefore, Dakshinamurti facing death indicates what? He is not afraid of death, marana. Whereas all other jivarasis, they don't want to face south because south means mortality, afraid of mortality, all of this. Whereas Dakshinamurti facing south tells all the jivas, look at me sitting without fear of death facing south. So Indri, there is a beautiful shloka called the Chandrasekhara Ashtakam of Markandeya Maharishi. There he writes a very nice shloka. Mrityu Bhita Mrikanda Sunu Kritastavam Shiva Sannidhau ಯತ್ರ ಕುತ್ರ ಚ ಯಪಟೇನ್ನಹಿ ತಸ್ಯ ಮೃತ್ಯು ಭಯಂ ಭವೇತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಮಾಯುರ ರೋಗಿ ತಾಮಕಿ ಲಾತ ಸಂಪದ ಮಾದರಂ ಚಂದ್ರಶೇಖರ ಏವ ತಸ್ಯ ದದಾತಿ ಮುಕ್ತಿಂ ಅಯತ್ನತಃ Therefore, Mrityum Jayaha, Kala Kalaha is Darshanamurti. Chandrasekhara will remove Kalabayam, Kalabayam. Kalabayam, Chandra, Chandra means Chandrasekhara, is Chandra means moon. Moon refers to Kalam, the Kala Tattvam, time principle. And Dakshinamurti has moon on his head, Chandra on his head. That means he has conquered Kala, represented by moon. So all the tithis, you know, Chandra, all the tithis are, they are only advancement of time. Therefore, Dakshinamurti is Kala Kalaha, Mrityunjayaha, Chandrasekaraha. Therefore, if one approaches him, he will destroy Yama Bhayam, the fear of death, and give immortality. The story of Markandeya and all is all based on that. And how does he give immortality? By becoming a guru of Vedanta, by teaching Brahma Vidya. And to that Dakshinamurti, who is free from fear of death and who gives freedom from fear of death for others also, to that Dakshinamurti, I worship, I prostrate. So this Dakshinamurti, Lord Shiva, appears also in three forms. This shloka says, Ishwaraha Guruhu Atma Iti. Ishwaro Guru Ratmeti. So Ishwaraha, then Guru, and Atma means here Jiva, not Sachidananda Atma, or Sishya. So here Sishyaha, so Pramatham, the knower. Guru is Pramanam, the teaching. And Ishwara is Prameyam, the subject matter. And all these three, that they are all the same one Lord only. Ishwaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine. Yomavat Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha. All these three are the same Lord only. That is why actually Lord Krishna also said in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvai Rahameva Vedyaha Vedantavit Veda Videha Videvacha. So that Lord Vishnu was all the three. Here Lord Shiva is all the three. Therefore, Ishwaraha, Guruhum, Atma Iti, Murti Veda Vibhagine. In three forms of expressions, he divides himself, Vibhagine. In these three forms, he divides himself. It is only a seeming division. It is like Gata Akasha. You know, we say that's a Gata Akasha, all these things. There is only one Akasha. But when it is inside the Gatam, in a part, you call it Gata Akasha. That's that division. So it is Aupadika Vibhagaha, based on only the Upadi, the medium. Here in the case of Gata Akasha, it's the Gatam. The part is the medium. Because originally he is what? Vyomavatim. Vyapta Dehaya, whose real nature is the all-pervading Chaitanyam, undivided, indivisible Chaitanyam, like space, Vyomavate, like Akasha. So to that Dakshinamurti, both his Saguna Swarupam and Nirguna Swarupam, Sopadikam and Nirupadika Swarupam, my namaskarams. Then next shloka we read yesterday is, Ashubani Nirachashte, Tanoti Shubha Santatim Smriti Matrena Yat Pumsam Brahmatan Mangalam Param. And in this mantra, the student says, Brahman is the most auspicious thing in the world. Brahmaiva Param Mangalam. Pavitranam Pavitramyo Mangalanancha Mangalam. All other auspicious things are only little bit auspicious. Borrowed auspiciousness. None of them have original auspiciousness. The original one is Mangalanam Mangalam, that is Brahman. It is so auspicious that by merely remembering that Brahman, we will get Mangalam. Therefore, Smriti Matrena, by mere remembering, Yatu Pumsam Mangalam Dadati, by mere memory. It is like what? Yes, Marana Matrena, Janma Samsara Bandhanat, Vimuchyate Namastasmai, Vishnave Prabha Vishnave. Smarana Matrena, by mere remembering. So Smriti Matrena, Yat Pumsa Mangalam Karoti, and that Brahma, Ishwaraha, is the supreme Mangalam. That Mangalam Paramananda, it is. Everything becomes auspicious because of Brahma Sambandha, association with that Brahman. And that is said here, Ashubani Nirachashte. Inauspiciousness are obstacles in pursuit of Ananda. and tanoti shubha santatim. It gives auspiciousness also. Santati means continuously, paramparaya. Constant flow of mangala, it gives. Then the next shloka we said read also, these are all prayers. Ati kalyana rupatvatim, nitya kalyana samshrayatim, smartrunam varadatvacham, brahmatan mangalam viduhu. The same idea is again conveyed here. Ati kalyana rupatvat, Brahman is Adi Kalyana Rupa, most auspicious, and Nitya Kalyana Samshrayat. It is auspicious all times, Nitya Kalyana Samshrayat. And Smartrunam Varadatpacha bestows upon all desires of devotees who remember him. Varan Dadati Iti Varadaha gives all kinds of what bestows, all auspicious and desires. And therefore, Brahma Tan Mangalam Viduhu. Brahman is known as Mangala Swarupam. And the last shloka we read yesterday is Yerime Gurubi Purvam Padavakya Pramanataham Vyakyatam Sarva Vedantaha Tan Nityam Pranatosmyaham. This prayer verse is by Shankaracharya before his Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashya. If you go to Taittiriya Upanishad Bhashya, before he writes the Bhashya, this is the shloka he writes. He says, the credit for this Bhashya is not for him at all. What I have done is only presenting the arguments and commentaries which have been there even before me. Many acharyas have written. It is not my original contribution, but only my perpetuation. His humility is shown so much in so many places, and these are all examples of his humility. He says, Guru Bihi, Padavakya Pramanataha, Sarva Vedantaha, Vyakhyataha. All Upanishads are already commented Guru Bihi by all previous Acharyas. They have already commented all of them, like Govinda Bhagavadpada, Gaudapada Acharya, and they all wrote according to the rules of interpretation. Pada Vakya Pramanataha. Because one cannot just arbitrarily interpret all these mantras. There are rules for that. And that is Pada Vakya Pramanataha. Those are the rules contained in three Shastras. And the three Shastras, they give the rules of interpretation also. When you write a commentary, what are the rules one has to follow? One is called the Pada Shastram. Pada Shastram, it is Vyakarana or grammar. Because the meaning should be derived using grammar rules. One cannot arbitrarily write meanings because every word is derived from its root by the addition of prefixes and suffixes. The root, the prefix, the suffix, they all have meanings. So the meaning has to be derived accordingly. And the grammar is also of two types. One is called Vaidika Vyakaranam. Vaidika Vyakaranam, it is meant for interpretation of Vedic words. And this is called Padashastram, using which the Purva Acharyas have already commented. And second one is Vakya Shastram or Mimamsa Shastram. It is another very big science, which is exclusively designed for the interpretation of Vedic sentences. Therefore, Padashastram deals with words and Vakya Shastram deals with sentences. And how the meaning of a sentence will be influenced by the context, the previous context, the later sentences, logic, and how to find this, all these meanings. For example, suppose one takes his car. This is a simple example. If you are together, you sit someplace and you are taking your car out to leave somewhere or to go home. And another person standing by the side and asks a question, where are you going? And the person in the car asks him back, do you want to get dropped somewhere? That person, you only pull your car out. Another bystander asks you, where are you going? And you are replying to asking him, do you want to get dropped somewhere? That means what? The driver understands the intention of the question. Therefore, uktihi anya and vivaksha anya. So these are the things. Uktihi means the literal meaning. And vivaksha means the intended meaning. Both should be known. Therefore, every Vedic statement is analyzed to find what are uktihi and what are vivaksha. And many factors are to be considered to arrive at the intention. Because how do I find somebody's intention? At least in personal transactions, it can be verified by asking him. But in the case of Vedas, the author is not available. So there is no method to cross-check. Therefore, we need a rigorous tradition to extract the vivaksha of the Vedas. And that shastram is called Mimamsa Shastram or Vakya Shastram. And the third science required for interpretation is Pramana Shastram, science of logical thinking, Tarka Shastram. So Vyakarana, Mimamsa and Tarka Shastras are the basis for right Vedic interpretation. If one has to attempt to interpret Veda Mantras, they should be familiar with Vyakarana Shastram, Mimamsa Shastram and Tarka Shastra. So Shankaracharya says, Purvacharyas have the acharyas before him. They have already done the interpretation based on Pada, Vakya, Pramanataha, all of them. And I will only represent them. I am not writing anything new. I am only representing them that whatever they have already done. And therefore, for doing that job, I seek the blessings of all the Purvacharyas. That is what that mantra said. So how humble he is. He wants to seek the blessings of all the Purvacharyas for him to represent whatever was already presented. Therefore, he says, Tan Purva Acharyan Nityam Pranatosmi Aham. I do prostrations to them always. And finally, Onkarascha Atashabdascha Dvavedav Brahmanapura Kantam Bitva Viniryatav Tasmat Mangalika Ubhav. Om Atha, Om Atha, Om Atha. We read this shloka also yesterday. That was the last shloka. Here the glory of two words, very important. One is Om, another is Atha. Both are mentioned here. And why they are important? Because these two words have been uttered by Brahmaji before creation. So first two words uttered by Brahmaji before creation. As we saw in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Om Tat Saditi Nirdeshaha Brahmanastri Vidasmritaha Brahmanastena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihitapura, where the glory of Om Tat Sat was given. And here the glory of Om Atha is given. Omkarascha Atha Shabdascha Om and Atha. Dva Veda, both of them, Kantam Bhitva Viniryatav. They came out of Brahmaji's throat, Kantam Bhitva. When Pura, even before the Srishti came, before creation itself they came. And actually some people interpret it differently also. You know, to what extent commentators think is very, very interesting. Because here the term used is what? Kantam Bhitva Viniryatav. Bhitva means piercing or breaking open. So those people, they interpret and they say that these two words, Om and Atha, have not come through the mouth of Brahmaji. Because if something comes out of the mouth of Brahmaji, it becomes echil. We call it uchishtam or whatever it is. You know, that comes out, it's a, in Tamil we call it echil, it's impure. Because even that much amangalam should not be there. He did not want even that much amangalam. Therefore, this commentator said, the sound came from the throat itself directly. How? The idea is what? They are uttered by Brahmaji. And why did they utter these two words? Because he wanted the creation to be perfect, orderly. And so it came directly from his throat, piercing open the throat, and they came. Because it has, the creation should be perfect. So without any doshas, should be orderly. Tasmat tat sukritam uchyata iti. Tasmat tat sukritam uchyata iti. We saw in Taittiriya also. So, and because of uttering these two words, he became very successful in his creation job. Therefore, if our pursuit should be defect-free, whatever we are trying to do, if it has to be defect-free, it has to be obstacle-free, we also should start with Om and Atha. That is why when we read Bhagavad Gita also, we say Om first and Atha Pratamodhyayaha, Atha Dvitiyodhyayaha. So we say Om and then Atha Pratamodhyayaha, etc. Because we want that study also should go successfully. So with this, here also we are trying to say Om Atha, Om Atha, essentially for us to make sure that the Brahma Sutra study also will be successful with freedom from all kinds of obstacles. As we mentioned earlier, Om Shantihi, 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 all those things, you know, the three different types of obstacles and doshas, they are all removed by each Shanti, Adi Bhaudikam, Adi Devikam, and Adhyatmikam, all of them. So here also, Om Atha, three times. And that is why after chanting the words in the tradition, they say Om Atha, and Om Atha, repeated three times. So with this, the prayer shlokas are all over. So all the 10 Shanti mantras, we recited part of the Dakshinamurti Stotra at the beginning, and yesterday we completed also, and also all these stotras in praise of the gurus, and also this parampara. So this, the prayer section is over. Now we will see a brief outline of the Brahma Sutra text, its contents. And Brahma Sutra consists of four chapters or four adhyayas. Four chapters, and each chapter is divided into four sections. These four sections, each section is called a pada. So four padas. Therefore, 16 sections together. So four chapters, each chapter has four padas. So totally 16 padas, 16 sections in Brahma Sutra. And each section is subdivided into several topics. And they are called adhikarana. And totally there are 192 adhikaranams. Actually, in some version it is 191, because one adhikaranam is divided into two. This is some detail that we will see when we actually study that. And each section consists of number of adhikaranams, which are not uniform. And all these topics are mainly collected from Vedanta or the Upanishads. They are all in the form of analysis of statements in the Upanishads. So this is the Dashopanishad particularly, whatever we already have done. And one great Sringeri Acharya by the name Bharati Tirtha, actually the present Mahasannidhanam is also Bharati Tirtha. And in the lineage of gurus, there are other Bharati Tirthas also. And one of them, he wrote a text called Adhikarana Ratnamala or Vyasika Nyayamala. He wrote one text summarizing all the 191 topics. And each topic is elaborately discussed in Brahma Sutra. But this Acharya condenses the entire topic in two verses. It deals with the reasoning given by Vyasacharya. So each adhikaranam is subdivided into sutras of various numbers. It is non-uniform numbers. Some topics have got one sutra only, while some others may have 7, 10, 11, 12, like that. So many sutras also. So totally we have, as I said in the beginning yesterday, 555 sutras in 192 adhikaranams or 191. So four chapters, 16 sections, 191 topics, 555 sutras. So if we complete this, we would have done all this. And in these four chapters, four topics are discussed broadly. And the first chapter deals with what is known as Samanvayaha. So it is called Samanvaya Adhyayaha. That is the name. It is a technical word occurring in Mimamsa Shastra, which means consistency. Samanvaya means consistency. And Vyasacharya presents this to prove that Brahman is the central theme of the Upanishads. Brahman. We are going to see later how consistency will prove this theme. We are going to see at that time in our discussion. Vyasa has to prove this because there are other darshanas. Why Vyasa has to do that? There are other darshanas which do not accept this, particularly the Sankhya system and the Purva Mimamsakas. They say that the theme of Veda is karma and not this. Therefore, there is a controversy whether Vedanta deals with karma or Brahman. And Sankhya philosophers have got their own contention. Therefore, Vyasacharya refutes Sankhya philosophy and Purva Mimamsa philosophies. So hence, he uses Samanvaya, consistency, as the criterion to prove this. Actually, the fourth shloka sutram, it is called Tattu Samanvayat. There is one sutram in the fourth. We are going to see that. This is an important sutra. And there is a main sutram which deals with this topic, the Samanvaya topic. So first chapter is Samanvaya. And the second chapter deals with Avirodaha. Avirodaha means Virodha is contradiction. Avirodha is non-contradiction. So first chapter says that Brahma Vidya is the central theme. And here he establishes that Brahma Vidya has no contradictions. Avirodaha in the second chapter. And because contradiction is a defect in teaching, he shows it is defect free. Now the question comes, contradictions with what? And there are three types of contradictions he refutes. We are going to see all of them. One is called internal contradiction within Veda itself. Paraspara virodaha. They are not there. That is, Vedic statements do not contradict one another. They are not mutually contradictory or nullifying. There is no internal contradiction at all. Or we can say, Shruti virodaha or Shrutehem paraspara virodaha nasti. It's not there. Then the second thing is, no contradiction with respect to Smriti also. Manu Smriti, Bhagavad Gita is a Smriti Grantha, we already told Smriti Prasthanam and Mahabharata, all those things. Finally, there is no contradiction with respect to Smriti also. And Shruti Virodaha, Shruti Yukti Virodaha Nasti. It is not logically contradictory or illogical. Shruti Yukti Virodaha. So in this second chapter alone, he takes all Nastika Darshanas, like Buddhism, Jainism, and all other systems also, like Nyaya, Vaisheshika, because they heavily depend upon logic, Tarka. And he establishes that Brahma Vidyam is free of all logical contradictions, whereas all other Darshanas are full of logical contradictions. In fact, the second chapter is heavily logic-based. Tough chapter also. Then the third chapter deals with sadhana, the preparatory disciplines required to gain Brahma Vidya, what a person should have the, as qualifications, preparatory steps, disciplines. Therefore, it is called sadhana adhyayaha. And all types of sadhanas are discussed. Those directly and indirectly connected with knowledge. Knowledge means self-knowledge, like karma and all karmas, chitta syam, shuddhaye karma. So you need chitta shuddhi, do karma. Rituals indirectly help to purify the mind. Therefore, importance of rituals, importance of upasanas, various values, they are all discussed. In fact, everything connected with religion is useful, even remotely. Then the fourth chapter is the smallest chapter. It is called Phala Adhyayaha. So it discusses the benefit, the phalam, or fruit of Brahma Vidya, which is moksha or liberation, muktihi. And two types of mokshas are also discussed. One is krama mukti, another is sadhyo muktihi. Krama mukti is in steps, delayed. And sadhyo mukti is immediate liberation, jivan mukti. So based on these topics only, the chapter names are also based. So what are the chapters now? Samanvaya Adhyayaha, Abhirodha Adhyayaha, Sadhana Adhyayaha, and Phala Adhyayaha. Four chapters. And now we will see the definition of three important words. I will stop with this. Three important words which we will be using very often. So we should be very clear about that meaning. Namely, Sutra is number one, Bhashyam is number two, and Adhikarana. These are the three terms which we will be using often. Sutram or aphorism, as I told earlier, is defined in a very beautiful shloka. Alpaksha, actually even Aptes dictionary gives this definition. Instead of alpaksharam, it says swalpaksharam. So alpaksharam asandigdham saravat vishvatomukham astobham anavadhyanchayam sutram sutravido viduho. It's a nice shloka. Any srutram or aphorism should fulfill these conditions. What are the conditions? One is alpakshara, should be very concise. You cannot be writing pages and pages. Should be 1, 2, 3, 4 words. That's it. Not long. Very easy to remember because intention is that by saying few words, one should be able to remember a large topic. And second condition is asandigdham. It should be clear. Sandigdham means ambiguous. It should be unambiguous. And three, saravate, it should deal with the essence alone. It should be pregnant with meaning. And four, vishvatomukham, should have many facets, more topics, if possible, we should be able to address in a simple sutra. Vishvatomukham. And astobam. Stoba means glorification. Another meaning is certain utterances. For example, like in Samaveda, you know, havu, havu, havu. All these words, they are all chanting in Samaveda. They have no particular these things there. So in glorification, no logic or reasoning will be involved. No limits also. So no decoration and all these things not allowed in this thing. But to complete the meter, they use some extra usage like cha. Cha and all those things, the cha, tu, all these things they try to use. In fact, Vyasacharya is called, it's interesting, he's called by a name cha kukshihi, one who has lot of cha in his stomach. You know, he keeps lot of cha in his stomach. So when he writes all the Puranas, for example, Mahabharata and all the so many 100,000 shlokas, wherever the meter is incomplete, he will put a chakara. So chakara, chakaraha, kukshav, isya saha, chakshi. So interestingly, the same. So he used a lot of this cha. And in chamakam, you know, you got chame, chame, that cha. And so all this cha, vai, tu, all these things for you know, padapurnartham. So they for the sake of meter, they use it. And in Vyakarana Sutra also, when commentator gives the rule for Sutrakara, they will always try to save even one letter. So they are so precise. And after thinking for many days, if they may save maybe one letter they can save, they consider it as the importance of that they give to that is, it's like putrotsavam manyante. It is like all as if they got a child. So if they can save one letter, that is the importance they give, to be precise. So much for brevity. They have given so much importance. So it's called astobam. And the sixth one is anavadhyancha. You should be defect-free. Avadhyam means doshaha. Anavadhyam means nirdosha. And dosha is also of two types. One is shabda doshaha. No grammatical dosha in its construction. That is shabda dosha. And the second one is called artha doshaha. No logical mistake in its meaning. For example, suppose I say I am going, instead of saying that, I said I are going. Idea is okay. Idea is what? I am communicating, I'm going. But grammar is wrong. So it is called shabda dosha. Or for example, if I say fire is cold, grammatically it is right, no grammar defect, but meaning is wrong. It is called artha dosha. So sutram should be free from shabda and artha dosha. This is called anavadhyam. So if these six conditions are fulfilled, it is called a sutram or aphorism. So the word sutram has got a literal meaning also. Namely, sutra means a thread, Mangala Sutra, it's all thread. So the second meaning is also very much applicable in the case of Brahma Sutra because it strings the Upanishadic ideas, which are like the beads into a garland, a mala. So the 191 beads, 191 adhikaranams I mentioned, give a good garland of flowers in the form of sutras. So the sutra strings all the topics conveyed through here and presents a systematic philosophy or darshana. This Shankaracharya says in his introduction itself, actually, Vedanta Vakya Kusuma Gratanartatvat Sutrana. Acharya himself writes it. So Vedanta Vakyani Kusumani. Vedantic statements are like flowers. They were not arranged. They were all lying loose, stood all over. Vyasacharya has made the garland connecting all these flowers using the thread of sutra. So Vedanta Sastra Mala. And next is, what is the definition of Bhashyam? Bhashyam is also, there is a beautiful shloka for that. Sutrartham varnyate yatra vakyehi sutranukaribihi svapadani cha varnyante bhashyam bhashyavido viduhu. This is another definition. I will take a couple of more minutes. Vakyaha sutra anukaribihi sutrartha varnyante. So the commentary should explain Every word in the sutra, the Bhashyam should explain every word in the sutra in the same order as in the sutras. The commentator may introduce technical words himself, but should explain them also. Therefore, swapadani cha varnyante. Such commentary is called Bhashyam. And now the third is, what is adhikaranam? Adhikaranam is also defined in another beautiful shloka. Vishayaha samshayaschaivam purva pakshas tatottaram sangadischeti panchangam shastredhikaranam smritam. So every topic should consist of five factors. Adhikaranam. What are the five factors? Vishayaha. Vishayaha is a subject matter. Generally, it is taken from any statement of the Dasha Upanishads. Of course, some other topics also might come. And samshayaha, what is the doubt in that statement? If there is no doubt, no need for an inquiry. What is evident need not be inquired. And what are the doubts expressed compared to other philosophies? For example, for the word Brahma, there are so many meanings. Veda, Brahma is called Veda, Brahman himself, the truth, Omkara, Brahmana. So what meaning one has to take under what context? So Purvapaksha views of the non-Vedantin, they are Karmakandis, that is all other Darshanikas with their own reasoning. So they give their own logic. So Purvapaksha and Siddhantaha, the Vedantic conclusions, which has to be established by refuting all the views logically. Also, it should be established that our conclusion is free from all logical defects. That is why it is called Nyaya Sastra. Nyaya Sastra, and Brahma Sutra is called Nyaya Prasthanam, as I told yesterday, because every statement is a logical statement. And then Sangatihi. Sangati means the link. We have used this term earlier somewhere else. So the link between previous and present topic. So all these five factors should be there for every topic in Adhikarana. And Acharya brings out all these five factors for every topic beautifully in his Bhashyam. So we'll be using these three terms very often, Sutram, Bhashyam, and Adhikarana. Now we will go to the introduction for Brahma Sutra Bhashyam of Adi Shankaracharya. This is popularly known as Adhyasa Bhashyam. So we said Brahma Sutra is Nyaya Prasthanam, which uses Nyaya or reasoning to establish the teachings of the Upanishad. Nyaya is translated as Yukti, Tarka, and technically as Anumanam or inference. Therefore, Brahma Sutra uses the method of Anumana to bring out the teachings. And now we have to understand what that Anumana is. We will do that in the next class next week. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य य परसमहेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु. Now I don't know where I lost the screen to stop the recording. I don't know how to get there. You were able to hear me, but that screen is not available here for me. Aha, I got it now. Good. Not, but let me stop the recording first.